Welcome to It's Your Community with Vanessa Denha, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. I'm Vanessa Denha Garmo here with Epiphany Communications and Coaching, communication strategist, life and leadership coach, and content creator and host of It's Your Community. Today, joining us here is Deja Butler, Director of Planning for Wayne Metropolitan Community Action Agency and overseer of the Detroit Residents First Fund. Deja, how are you?
I am doing well, Vanessa. How are you?
Wonderful. It's a pleasure talking with you. I know Wayne Metro really well. I know Mia. I don't think we've ever met, but it's a pleasure to have you on the show. So kind of give our listeners an overview of Wayne Metro.
So Wayne Metro is a human services organization. In 2021, we celebrated 50 years of existence. Our goal was to eliminate poverty in Wayne County, and we do that through offering upward of 75 programs and services geared to build client self-sufficiency. So we have programs like water assistance, utility assistance. We have whole family programs like Head Start and After School programming. We have workforce development programming, participatory grant making initiatives. You name it, we're doing it at Wayne Metro, and we're doing it in response from feedback that we're getting directly from Wayne County residents.
And so that's a lot of programs and a long history. What can you share with us what the Detroit Residents First Fund is, what it aims to do?
Absolutely. So the Detroit Residents First Fund publicly launched last summer, so in August of 2021, but it's been quite a few years in the making. It was a brainchild of Ed Ignatius when he was at Kellogg. He's since retired and kind of passed on the torch to Wayne Metro and others at the table. So the Detroit Residents First Fund really aims to invest in Detroit-based grassroots nonprofit organizations that are led by Black Indigenous people of color. These types of resident leaders and organizations are usually excluded from traditional philanthropy. So we kind of created this fund as a way to give power and social capital to them, and also to make sure that the work that we're funding is actually work that is wanted and needed in Detroit neighborhoods.
Okay. And so is this something new, or is it being modeled after another kind of grant formula, or can you explain that to us?
So the Detroit Residents First Fund is the first fund in Detroit's history to adopt participatory grant making as a framework.
Okay.
And that framework basically tells, it basically is where nonprofits, community leaders, grantees, intermediaries all come to the table to partner to determine how grants will be spent. It okay. breaks down those like traditional powerarchies. It helps philanthropy to not be prescriptive of what the needs are with what the needs of the community are. Okay. But instead, we're all sitting at the table together making decisions about everything down to how the dollars will be spent.
Wow. Okay. So who's at the table with you? Who are some of your partners?
So the fund is currently comprised of the Ford Foundation, the William K. Kellogg Foundation, Wayne Metro, the Fred and Barbara Erb Foundation, and the Skillman Foundation. We're all funded.
Okay.
So as our capacity building facilitator.
Got it. Okay. And so, you know, we're big proponents here about communicating, connecting, and collaborating with people in the community for the greater good, you know, for helping a bigger cause. How important is collaboration for the work that you guys do?
Collaboration is key to the work that we're doing. It's been, so we're in the last year of our pilot year. So for the past, I want to say almost 5 years at this point, we've been fine-tuning ways to make it truly collaborative in nature. We didn't want to just talk about it. It was something that we wanted to like really be about. So what we've done over the past couple years is really talk to the community about the fund, incorporate their ideas, develop some shared language. We've developed a steering committee that is inclusive of really legacy nonprofit leaders in the city of Detroit, just to get their feedback as well. And also, we wanted to make sure that we adopted a consensus model for decision making. So instead of just relying on majority rules, everybody kind of has the platform to voice how they feel and whether they agree or disagree, or if we should, you know, go back to the table and rethink some things. And then lastly, we just incorporate our grantees' feedback in everything that we do so that we're constantly improving the work.
I love that too. So how, you know, when you look for improvements, what are some of the ways that you guys have improved or evolved over the years?
So one thing we do, we have Jane Fran Morgan of JFM Consulting. They help with the evaluation of the fund as well as our grantees. Mm-hmm. So they ask grantees about certain DRFF outcomes that we have, and if those are still relevant, if they need to be fine-tuned, are there things that we should be looking at differently? We have these lunch and learns where we're all at the table. So the funders are there, the intermediaries, the grantees, the steering committee, we're all there. We're chatting about the direction of the fund. We've been able to, through those lunch and learns and through those surveys and interviews and other methods, we've actually changed part of our financial reporting so it's not as cumbersome on grantees, while it's still allowing us to kind of meet benchmarks that our funders set forth. And then we were also able to kind of revamp and revise the application so that it wasn't an administrative burden on those organizations as well. So getting the information that we all need, but doing it in a way that works best for everybody.
We're talking with Deja Butler here on It's Your Community. She's the Director of Planning for Wayne Metro Community Action Agency and overseer of the Detroit Residents First Fund. So Deja, tell me, as the Director of Planning for Wayne Metro, what does that entail?
It entails quite a bit.
I'm sure you're probably very busy. So tell us.
Very, very busy, but I absolutely love it. Uh-huh. I really have two main buckets of work. So one is I oversee the Outwayne Continuum of Care, so the homeless response system in Outwayne County. All 40 of the 43 communities, excluding Detroit, Highland Park, and Hamtramck, because that's a part of the Detroit Continuum of Care. But really rallying together service providers, making sure that we're getting government funding and funding from other sources, really to respond to and eliminate homelessness for those who are literally homeless, at imminent risk of homelessness, experiencing some sort of housing instability and whatnot. And we just, I oversee the work to kind of secure and locate permanent positive housing destinations for them. So that's like half of my work.
Yeah. Let's get into the homelessness. Is that a big priority? Is that the main priority, is to get people off the streets and into some type of stable home?
That is a huge priority. Now, initially, Wayne Metro, we've been a service provider for quite some time, but we realized, especially during COVID, that we needed to get more involved. So in 2020, we partnered with some organizations to stand up like a rotating church model to house those who are like literally homeless out on the streets. And then we moved to, because COVID was rampant and it was highly transmissible, we went to a motel model where we had homeless individuals sheltering in place in hotel rooms, which was awesome because it kept them safe. It protected their dignity and the like. Yeah. And now we've actually just broken ground on our standalone emergency response shelter, which will be opening in River Rouge closer to the end of the year. So we didn't plan to get into this game, but we realized, based on what was going on really in our area and feedback from our partners as well as residents, that's something that we needed to do, and we're doing it.
Yeah. That's probably, if you can't get people off the street and into stable homes, they can't have a better future. at the bottom line. I mean, that's got to be the first step too. I mean, such an important step. And Deja, so in terms of the actual funding, you know, I understand you're actively seeking additional funding sources to continue the work. So tell us about that.
So the Detroit Residents First Fund is unique in that we award grantees $50,000 a year for 3 years. So these kind of smaller grassroots organizations, they usually don't know where their next funding source is coming from, but at least with the Detroit Residents First Fund, they know over the next 3 years, I'll have $150,000 to do what I need to do. So the last cohort, they will be starting their final year this year. We're onboarding a new cohort of 5 grantees, and we're actively seeking new funders to come to the table so that we can continue to expand this opportunity for years to come.
Wow. Okay. So obviously that extra funding, whatever, people listening and want to partner with you, what do they do?
They can visit our website. It's drffund.org. And they can also reach out to me directly, dbutler@waynemetro.org. I'll be more than happy to have that discussion with any potential funder, as well as our development team.
Yeah, because you never can use enough people to partner with and help you with your cause. So you talked about the first cohort. It was a 3-year investment. So 15 grassroots organizations begin their final year of funding, and you're accepting obviously more applications and $50,000 a year. Are you just kind of trying to continue with that model, or is that, how is that working? You just want to continue with those, you know, 3-year cohorts?
Yes, that's our goal, to continue with the 3-year cohorts. We have huge ideas to expand, but we need funders to be at the table. I know we just had a meeting yesterday with our steering committee, and we all agreed that we want to expand this opportunity to youth-led organizations. So to resident leaders within the city of Detroit who are 18 to 30, who are leading some grassroots work and really and doing really innovative work, we want to kind of expand this opportunity to them as well. We also want to add a youth advisory component to the work. And we're talking about it, and we have people at the table, but we need more.
Okay, youth advisory, expand on that for me. What would that entail? For people listening who may be interested, what would that entail?
That would really entail having young people at the table and having the place and the power to make decisions along with the rest of the steering committee within the Detroit Residents First Fund. Okay. We have a lot of legacy and seasoned nonprofit leaders who are really jumping at the opportunity to mentor some of the up-and-coming resident leaders and to kind of pass the baton and pass the torch on to them. So we would really look at this as an opportunity, you know, for younger leaders to glean from the older generation, for the older generation to be able to impart in the younger generation, yeah, just so that we can continue the work so that, you know, once, you know, our seasoned leaders, you know, have passed on, the work continues and we continue to do more and we continue to build more and evolve.
Yeah, I think it's so important, Deja, to get input from different perspectives, different age groups, different generations, different backgrounds. I mean, you never know what you can learn from somebody else and the connections that they have as well. So I think that's a great approach. So in terms of the, you know, organization, you know, working with different community groups, like the work you're doing in the community movement builders and Detroit George Street Community Collective. Tell us about that.
So Mark Cummington, he leads the Georgia Street Collective. The Georgia Street Collective is, it's an urban farming organization. It's okay. Based in Southwest Detroit. And they bring the neighborhood together really to do community development work alongside like growing food to share with those in need. But they host some of the most amazing holiday and seasonal events using resources that they grow on that farm. And they also do awesome drives for clothing, school supplies, and the like. So wow, Georgia Street is a community center. It's a hub for people within that neighborhood, and we're excited to have them a part.
And then, so what is the community movement builders in Detroit? What is that group?
So the community movement builders, it's a member-based collective. There are actually three chapters across the country, and one, of course, is in Detroit. The belief of the community movement builders is that Black people have the right to determine their destiny, and they make sure that they draw upon the input, the feedback, the participation of Black people in all of their programming. It's really based on self-determination. So really, what can we do as a people to improve our circumstances? So they are also a big community development powerhouse in the city, transforming vacant homes. They actually transformed one in Southwest Detroit, and they named it the Mama Akua Community House. Mm. And that they're building a t-shirt printing company to offer young people with apprenticeships and job opportunities. And they will be launching in 2022 with the support of the Detroit Residents First Fund. So we're excited about the work that they're doing over there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then people's you have a community garden, People's Water Boards Coalition. So you guys are doing a lot with a lot of different groups. I mean, you really collaborate a lot.
Yes, and that we were intentional with that. We didn't want the fund to just be comprised of community development organizations. We wanted kind of all of the interests and all of the needs and all of the innovation going on within the city of Detroit to be represented. So we have some of everybody. We have water advocates. We have community gardens. We have some organizations like Force Detroit who are adamant and really active in criminal justice reform work here in Detroit and across the state. So we were really intentional. We wanted all of Detroit to shine in this project.
So the guidance that you're getting from the community leaders on the DRFF steering committee, is that what you're talking about in terms of reaching out to youth too, or is that something different?
Yes. So we will be expanding. We would be expanding the steering committee to include youth.
Okay.
We actually have added a couple members who we plan to start with us in April. We've added a couple members to kind of diversify that body, but then we'll also have a complete spinoff of a youth advisory group as well, who would do some of the same things that the steering committee's doing. So provide that information and feedback on how we could continue to kind of break down barriers in the grant making process.
Wow. We're talking with Deja Butler here on It's Your Community, Director of Planning for Wayne Metro Community Action Agency and overseer of the Detroit Residents First Fund. Deja, tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in this kind of work? What enticed you?
So when I graduated from the University of Michigan in 2012, I was kind of gung-ho about going into business and finance, and that's exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. I did mortgage loan origination, I did auto finance, all those kinds of things. And while the money was great, I wasn't fulfilled, and that's because mm-hmm. I always knew that I had to be doing work that was impacting people. I'm a people person at heart. Mm-hmm. I was raised around people, people who loved people. Mm-hmm. It was always instilled in me. So when I had the opportunity and when I just got fed up of kind of just lining someone else's pockets, I looked for opportunities that would allow me to be more impactful and to do work that had more of a meaning. And I stumbled upon Wayne Metro. And when I started at Wayne Metro, I was a frontline staff person who processed some of our water assistance applications. And then after speaking, you met Mia. So after speaking with Mia and others, I was like, I want to do more. What can I do? And then the Detroit Residents First Fund was presented to me, and I fell in love with it. So now, in addition to like the homeless response system that I oversee DRFF, or the Detroit Residents First Fund, as part of our participatory grant making program. So that offers community engagement opportunities, capacity building and leadership development opportunities, as well as the grant making, and the Detroit Residents First Fund is a part of that. On top of our seeding grants, our Grow Wayne County grants, our volunteer program, our regional advisory councils, which, help us to solicit feedback and input from regions across Wayne County. So I'm really in the thick of it, doing things and getting information from the people, because I believe that we can only kind of come up with efficient, effective, equitable decisions and resources if all of our voices are represented at the table. And Mia and Lewis and the Wayne Metro team have given me the platform to do that.
That's awesome. And I understand that you're offering an incentive for interested funders. For every 10,000 invested by new funding sources, Wayne Metro Action will sponsor Detroit Public Schools community district students. So elaborate more on that for us. What is that all about?
Absolutely. So to incentivize and encourage funders to join in with the Detroit Residents First Fund, Wayne Metro has agreed to sponsor a DPSCD student, preferably a high school student, to take part in our youth development and leadership program for the 2022-23 school year. So for every $10,000 that's donated to the Detroit Residents First Fund, Wayne Metro will sponsor one student for the city of Detroit to participate in that capacity building leadership development program for youth. These donations are tax deductible. They can be both corporate or individual giving. And we are able to offer some match programs for philanthropic efforts with certain employers. So We're trying to get the word out. And as I kind of shared with you earlier, like this whole empowering the youth thing is really big with Wayne Metro. It's also a really big thing within the Detroit Residents First Fund. And we figure this would be a great way to kick off our youth involvement.
That's great. So I know that COVID, like every other group, put a kind of a wrinkle in everything they do and meeting in person and having events. Do you guys have any events coming up, like as we're moving past the pandemic?
We do. We're trying to, and you're right, COVID keeps putting a damper on it. But once the new cohort is onboarded in May, we're looking to have a celebratory event to welcome them into the fund so that they're able to meet current grantees, meet steering committee members, kind of rub elbows with some of our funders and build some relationships there. So that's to come. But we're hoping to do that sometime in the late spring, early summer.
Yeah, it's so sad that, I mean, the pandemic is what it is, but that not having that in-person connection, it's been such a bummer in the work that people like you do on a regular basis to have those personal connections with people in the community.
Absolutely. Networking is big, and it's a really big way that we could create some positive change once we're laying eyes and laying hands on one another and we're able to see and feel each other out. So I'm definitely looking forward to the day when we can do that again on a regular basis.
Yeah, me too, Deja. I miss the networking. Deja Butler, yes. Director of Planning for Wayne Metro Community Action Agency and overseer of the Detroit Residents First Fund, is who's been talking with us here on InterCommunity. What else do you want to share with our listeners here on InterCommunity, Deja, before we let you go?
I just, if you know anyone who is in need, period, across Wayne County, definitely reach out to Wayne Metropolitan Community Action Agency. As I shared with Vanessa earlier, we offer 75 plus programs and services to help people along the pathway to self-sufficiency. So feel free to reach out to us, www.waynemetro.org/apply. You can access our universal application where you can literally apply for every single service that Wayne Metro offers in an application that takes less than 7 minutes. Wow. Or if you need some assistance and you're not tech savvy, I know I struggle in the tech area sometimes. We have our navigators on our Connect Center. They can be reached at 313-388-9799 Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to noon. So there's help out there. Let's spread the word. Let's help Wayne County to eliminate poverty.
75 programs in more than 50-year history. That's pretty impressive, Dejan. Thank you for coming on InterCommunity and sharing with us the Wayne Metro story.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. If you have any comments or questions, show topics you want me to get to Vanessa Denha, you go to Epiphany Communications and Coaching. You can private message me there, email me there, or go to any of my social media platforms. Find me on LinkedIn, Epiphany Communications and Coaching on Facebook. You can go to Twitter or Instagram, private message me there as well. We are always looking for show topics and guest ideas to share with us here on It's Your Community, to share with the rest of the community. And as always, we remind people to communicate, connect, and collaborate with your community. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
It's Your Community, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.